Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
For some reason, yeah. I went on that right. Eyes closed the whole time.
That's just a single, like terrified. A single person per car.
It's there's, capsule, there's a single the log capsule. Flume ride, which everybody loves.
That was the
loves.
Scariest.
I love that.
Everybody loves the log flume ride. Right. The log flume ride.
Very scary.
My eyes are closed for the entire thing, except when
you're not good with the water.
When there's a descent,
you can see land at least
700 feet in less than a second, and then they take a picture of you. My eyes are wide open in terror. Yes. Terror.
This is General George Washington, and you're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
All righty, then. Plausibly live from an as-yet undisclosed third-floor location in Chevy Chase, Maryland. And time is running out on the undisclosed location in Chevy Chase, Maryland. We hope to be in the new studios.
Dare to say soon to
May
be 1st. Disclosed
it location? It will be disclosed. It is not disclosed yet. But we're going to move to the new location.
And
I
you
hope
mean disclosed
trust
like
May 1st.
You mean like disclosed? We're going to the new place.
New phone. Who did?
Right. Disclosed. Yeah.
Disclosed.
Right.
Disclosed. Right. Yeah, May 1st, right?
I'm hoping.
Okay. Oh, nice. We've got 2020, sir? Right? We've got Chris Cillizza. We've got Gary Braun. We've got Michael Kornheiser. We've got Nigel working the board, running the news. Okay, I'm going to talk about the fact of where I've been for the last day, but I the lead of the show changes because I find out I'm watching news 6:30 in the morning, something like that, waiting to get weather, and Channel 4 cuts in to say that Aaron Hernandez is dead. And the initial reports, and when you hear this, since it drops at 11 o'clock in the morning Eastern, 8 California time, Pacific time, I assume that these will either be confirmed or denied by then. But the initial reports was that Aaron Hernandez hanged himself in his own jail cell, which he did not share. You know, he was alone in isolation. I don't know how he did it. I don't know anything about it. And I don't have a tremendous amount to say about this. He was the public side of Aaron Hernandez that everybody knows. He was a really great football player. And he and Gronkowski, who didn't play together all that much for the Patriots, would have been, had they stayed together and stayed healthy, even in Gronk's limited health, because when he's out there, he's the best position player in the world. And Aaron Hernandez was third or fourth at that point as a tight end. And they would have been the Patriots. Nobody would have beaten the Patriots. That's what we know him as a tight end. But he's also a murderer. More importantly, he's a murderer. He was convicted in, I think, the first-degree death of Odin Lloyd.
That is correct.
And he was on trial very recently for a double murder in which, if I remember correctly, he just walked up to an open window in a car and shot two people dead. Now, he was acquitted.
Right.
Which this
and
was last
that,
week, which
on
was
Friday, yes.
Sort of surprising.
That
I felt with everything I'd read, that was sort of surprising.
That double murder, if I'm not mistaken, predated the murder
yes.
of Odin Lloyd.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah,
it was
in 2012.
He was not charged for that until well
correct.
After
right.
Odin Lloyd. So when you tell me that he has hanged himself and he's dead, my initial reaction was that is surprising to me since he stayed in jail through this particular trial
yes.
and got an acquittal on this particular trial,
and
maybe he had the right to appeal the previous murder conviction.
Well, he had been incarcerated for four or five years. I mean, it's not like
four
it was
years.
His first year in prison. I mean, he had been
yes.
in prison
right.
for an extended period of time.
So,
the timing
surprising.
Seems odd given the acquittal.
Surprising. Yeah. I don't. What else? I don't know I mean, what else there is.
There, it's,
yeah, it's
awful end to an incredibly
end.
Violent
yes.
life, right? I mean,
really?
The guy, like,
yes.
and secret life.
And by the
double
very,
life.
For a very long time, totally double.
Well,
secret
people
life.
Will tell you that he was that violent. Did he go to Florida?
Yes.
He played
right.
for Urban Meyer
Urban
in Florida.
Roommates with the Redskins' Jordan Reed, who's a year younger than him.
Yeah,
played tight end at Florida with him.
There was a very long piece on ESPN.com about the acquittal, and it went into great detail about his past at Florida and obviously his time with the Patriots and all the concerns that so many coaches and team officials had about his character and how the Patriots said, well, we've got a way of sort of maybe turning people
Patriot
around.
Way.
Yeah. And I talked about how everything that they challenged him with on the field, he did magnificently. But then this awful left turn, you know, with these murders. But even with that,
with the acquittal.
Well, he did these before he was the ones he was accused of and acquitted of.
And
he did before he was a Patriot.
No, 2012.
I don't think it was before.
Yeah. Okay. But the lawyer, this guy Baez, whom is like a superstar lawyer, got Casey Anthony off, was talking about in the piece. He's like, "Oh, we've got a great chance at acquittal on the first trial.
On an appeal,
yeah, an appeal. Rather, I'm sorry, appeal."
Just the classic story. If you know, you read the stuff from the Boston papers and whatnot of the athlete who could not get away.
That's right.
From the childhood friends, and it was just a rough crowd.
Is he from
grew up
L.A.?
With.
No, he's from Bristol, Connecticut.
Yeah, that's right.
He's from Connecticut?
He's from Bristol, Connecticut.
Why did I not know that? So I thought he was
but
from California.
Just to be fair, when you cast it like that.
Well, I'm not suggesting he's a victim. I'm just saying he grew up in this very violent world.
And seems to have excelled at that.
As he did in everything he did that we're aware of.
Yeah.
And had an opportunity to get away from it with this fame and fortune.
And did not.
And chose not to.
That's right. So we're not going.
I'm not casting
him
a victim.
He's not a victim.
Just one other quick thing. I this shows, I think, how short your attention spans are now, and how things are quickly forgotten. When I saw it this morning, and it said he was 27 years old.
I thought he was older.
I want to bet the money I have that he was in his early 30s.
It feels 10
like
years
he's
ago
been
he
gone.
Played. Yeah.
From, but I think that's just because he's been out of our consciousness. You know, he's been in jail. And
well, look, you said earlier 4 or 5 years. Odin Lloyd was killed in 2013, so it's
right. I mean,
so it can't have been 4 years.
Doesn't it feel like longer than
that
ago? I mean, like the idea that he's 27 or that Jordan Reed is only a year younger than him is odd to me.
Right.
You know, it seems like it's been with us longer.
So we're not gonna spend any more time because we don't. You know what? We're not that smart. We don't have anything important to say.
But also, there's not a lot of details that we know.
No. I'll just say this in closing for me, and it's not smart. It's just what I'm going to remember aside from the whole murder and suicide. That dude was so versatile on a football field. I mean, what team ran end-arounds to the tight end? You know, occasionally you'll see, I guess, Andy Reid do that now with Travis Kelce, but... But this guy, you can play running back, tight end, wide receiver, and to your earlier point, he made that team indefensible.
I would think so. Yeah. So anyway, all right, so we leave that. There is no easy segue for me to explain where I was the last 2 days. Certainly yesterday I was in Augusta, and I was very fortunate enough.
Wait a minute, did we record this show a couple weeks ago?
No.
You were just in Augusta.
I was in Augusta again, and I was fortunate enough to play Augusta National again, and I how do I say this? It's a great privilege to have some of the things that have happened to me in my life. And I'm always aware of that. I take none of them for granted, and I'm always thrilled by them. And this is one of those things. I was trying to figure this out, how to say this, because Augusta National it's a golf club. It has members. When you watch the Masters, the members aren't playing, although some members have played in the Masters before by virtue of qualifying and other things. But it is available to people to play. It is, you know, you don't have to be somebody, but you have to know somebody. I mean, that's the way it works. And what I was thinking of is that this is sort of like in the old days when the U.S. Open tennis was not played where it is now at basically a public park ground in Queens, when it was played in Forest Hills on the most beautiful grass courts in the United States of America. It was the West Side Tennis Club. Wimbledon is played at the All England Tennis Club. They have members. In the days when they're not contesting this particular tournament, people are out there playing. So it's not like it's not a museum. They got members. You can play it. The most famous, I think Michael could back me up on this. I think one of the places in terms of destination for everybody because it's public is Pebble Beach. Pebble Beach costs a lot of money to play. It's upwards of $500 to play around.
I think around $550.
Wow.
It's a lot of money.
That includes a card fee, though.
Yeah, you can save for it.
So
there are a lot of people save for vacations. That's what they do.
Right.
And for somebody, saving for a vacation to go to Pebble Beach to play around,
sure,
it's totally worth it to do this. So I got very lucky in the fact that I could play Augusta. I'm not going to go hole for hole or anything like that. Nobody needs to hear that, although I could. I could go hole for hole if you really want.
Give us some highlights.
One hole in a Nance voice.
I can't do Nance.
You birdied last round, right? You had a birdie.
I'll tell you the best shot
that
I hit all day.
Was number four that you birdied last round?
No, two.
Give us a Vern from 16.
I can't.
Yes, come on.
On, and I played, I will say that I played with the great Jack Vardaman, who's still a great player, and the great Sam Reeves, who's still a great player. I really enjoyed myself.
Dan Reeves, cool.
Not Sam Reeves, the great Sam Reeves. On this one hole, the last par three is number 16. It goes over water. It is not as famous as number 12, which is has Ray's Creek there, but it goes over water. And yesterday, the pin was in the very far back right.
Is that the one Kuchar aced, or is that, was that
12? Yeah.
Yes, Kuchar, 16. Yeah. Yeah, yes. Okay.
The pin was in the very, very far back right.
So it's like up then. It's sort of right? Because there's that.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. You have to clear water, and I had to hit a 155-yard shot, which I'm not good at.
Wedge.
I'm not. Well, no, no, no. I took a 5-iron because I'm old and I'm not very good, and I hit a great shot that landed on the green and rolled to the fringe, very puttable, from behind the pin about 8 feet away.
Kornheiser's
and I had
feet.
Visions of he birdieing this hole. Right. I hit it so far past the hole. I was further when I was done hitting the ball than I was before I got there.
Keep it was downhill.
Keep it out of the bunker.
You could call do-over, right?
No,
can't. Yeah, totally.
I had visions of a birdie, but I didn't even...
Winter
I,
rules.
I got four.
Winter rules.
I needed three... I actually needed three putts from 9 feet. Though. But I hit such a great tee shot that I didn't mind. I was really, really happy with that. That was the best shot that I hit.
So the guys you were playing with didn't give you that putt?
No.
Auto two putt.
No.
Exactly.
No.
Yeah.
I broke 100. I'm very happy to say I broke 100. And I had, again, the great opportunity to go there and stay over in the cottages and all of that. And I had dinner in Tyne Jacket. And I think that Tyne Jacket at Pine Valley as well. When you go to Pine Valley, there are a lot of places are Tyne Jacket places. But at one point, and this will, everybody will understand this. So it's a golf course. And there's a way of dressing it always seemed to me. I understand there's a Tyne Jacket, but I didn't bring socks. The only socks that I brought were white golf socks. And so I put on a jacket and tie, and I put on a pair of pants, okay pants, Peter Millar. So I felt that was good for a golf course.
Not a real guy.
Doesn't exist.
Doesn't exist. I would have worn Johnny O
so
pants.
So what did you have shoe-wise? Just like a loafer or something?
I had loafers. Okay. I had things that I'd bought at Cole Haan. It looked okay.
Right.
I didn't buy them special. I've had them for years.
So this not your boat shoes.
I was going to say, this isn't one of your 82 pairs of boat shoes that you
no.
Wanted.
No, no. And by nice the way,
yes, there's an update on
there's
that.
There's an update on that coming tomorrow.
Because of course there is.
Because,
exactly,
yes.
Michael.
Tomorrow is Thursday.
Yes.
There's an update on these shoes tomorrow.
You know what I could use? A good pair of boat shoes.
No. So, no, I have two more pair. We're in the recycle phase now.
Right.
So, so the great Jack Vardaman looks at me and he says, "You don't have socks." I said, "No. No, I don't have socks. I've got golf socks, white socks, can't wear them." And he goes, you need to wear socks." I said, "Really?" And he said, "This is not South Florida." And Jack Vardaman then slipped me a pair of black socks.
Oh, nice.
And I mean, that's why he's the great Jack Vardaman.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because in his mind, somewhere deep in his mind, was the notion that this rookie, this rube, might get this wrong. And since he never wears socks, he might not actually wear socks. One of the things that is so that was so sort
not
of
playing Rock Creek Park here, Tom.
No, sort of touching about this. And I know, I mean, I understand how this works. By the way, and I've said this before about Augusta, it is as immaculate and as beautiful when the Masters isn't being played as when the Masters is being played. Everything's gorgeous. It's a very, very pleasant thing to do. And at various points, at least in my case, at various points you sort of stop and you go, how lucky am I?
That's cool.
How lucky am I to do this today? How great is this today? And how grateful to anybody who would make that happen. But the people who are there, who are the wait staff, I'm sure they're told who you are. I'm sure they're told everybody's name beforehand, but they go out of their way to call you by name, which is it's wonderful
for totally.
There's people there who've never been before, probably never going again, get called by name, and it's really good. It's really nice. And you would say, "Yeah, well, I'll never get." It's like the guy who says, "Well, don't tell me about your airplanes until you sit in 36C." Well, I don't have to sit in 36C because I paid for 2C. I paid for it. And you know what? You could have too. So
called get success, off, my friend.
Get off me with that.
Right.
But I'm not. I am cognizant that most people don't get this.
Yeah.
And it was really nice. My friend Eddie, who I play golf with, he's part of my high school friends, and we play golf twice a year. We play at Delaware, and we play in upstate New York. Eddie was a baseball player in high school, and Eddie had the opportunity. Eddie went to one of those camps, and Eddie had the opportunity to take batting practice in Yankee Stadium.
Oh, wow.
That, for cool. Eddie Plutzer, is like me teeing off at number two at Augusta. I mean, he had that opportunity. Oh. It's unforgettable. I think he didn't get one out, but I think he got one of the track.
Cool.
I think he got one of the track. Yep,
that's
and so
cool.
And that's a story he loves to tell. Everybody has something. People say, well, is this on your bucket list? I don't believe in that. I don't believe in bucket lists. I think that's stupid. I don't have a list of things I want to do. No, this is a wonderful thing that happened, and I was really grateful for it. And you know, I don't – it's not like I'm – again.
How'd you do on the flights?
I'm here.
Yep.
Made I'm here.
On the shirt.
Talisman worked.
My shirt, my flying shirt is...
Oh, you went to it again. Despite
twice.
Its, despite it.
Twice, torn and tattered. But I think you'd be proud of me.
Threadbare.
No Xanax on the flight to Atlanta.
Wait, commercial or private?
Commercial.
No Xanax.
I don't like when you fly
front,
commercial. I would fly private, always. If
okay,
I was a...
If you could. Yeah,
I mean, 100% of the time.
Right.
You've seen Veep, haven't you?
Right. So,
well said.
No Xanax there, and only a half yesterday. Only a half.
That's
only
really
half.
Good.
That's
but,
just because you were hungry.
But I can't eat. Like, everybody else is eating. They have breakfast.
Oh, yeah.
They
oh,
have
yeah.
lunch.
You're up front. They give you the good
eat.
Stuff.
Yeah. I can't eat.
No.
And they look at me like, why aren't you
I
eating? And it's too long to
I
explain.
I think you're getting better at it.
As I hold my talismans in my hand.
Yeah, I mean, you say it's them. The same and it drives you nuts every time. But
it does.
Think of how many flights you've gotten
that's
on
right.
the last
you're,
3 years
get on
compared
the plane.
To the previous
that's
10.
That's right.
Well,
so,
I've been on
good for you.
Four
you're getting
in
on.
10 days.
That's right.
Or 8 days?
Something like that.
9 days? I've been on four. So I'm going to lay low for a while. I'm going to be in a sedan.
Right. You know, when did you change into the flying shirt on the way home?
Yeah. On the way home, I changed into the flying shirt
the
when
airport?
We were done playing golf. Oh. No.
At Augusta.
Yes. The flying shirt's okay, but
the
I
the flying shirt is not okay for
you've,
Augusta
you've
National.
You said that it's
well, nobody
like
saw
a,
me.
You said
I had
you look like a hobo.
Wait, I had
your
a
sport coat on top?
No, wait. I had a vest sweater and a sport coat. So nobody
okay,
could
buried.
See it.
It was buried.
Nobody could see it but I like to also wear sneakers and socks. And I like to also wear jeans, and you can't wear jeans, so I didn't. I flew home not in jeans. This is a very big victory,
and
I felt.
And the plane somehow
and that,
didn't
now I've
go
now
down.
Added, I've now added to things I can wear.
Right.
So not
like
in shorts, though, right?
Never flown in jeans.
Yeah,
I asked because this summer we took a trip, and you went up to the club management saying, I know it's against the rules, but
oh my God.
I'm going to wear jeans on the way out. I'll leave quickly.
Right, so
because
I had to get on a plane.
Of your thing with the flying,
I had to get
right.
on a plane. But I asked. I wouldn't do it. So
that was only time.
And can
six,
I just
three.
Say
just,
one other thing? We'll
five.
Have this in news later. Blake Treinen has to go.
And let me
Blake
just also Treinen. Offer as a public.
I mean, when I say go, I think you know I mean deported.
Yeah, yes. Another country.
As a and that actually might happen. And as a public service, I would add because the Twittersphere has been clamoring for this. You will get to the Capitals. So stay tuned.
Oh, yeah. No, well, Barry's Veluga. Right? Yeah, Barry's going to be on the show. And Barry is in Toronto, is
that,
he not?
That is correct, yes.
Oh, we're going to get to the Caps.
What happened with the Caps?
Oh, we'll save it. Nothing,
I think
really.
They,
nothing really.
I think they split the first two games.
Yes, they did. Yes,
but how
did.
Many have they played?
Easy
three.
Path to the Penguins.
They
right?
were on they were yeah. on track for that Caps in five prediction to come true.
Well, they were.
Still could be over in five.
Yes.
All right, we'll take a break. Michael Wilbon, of all people, will join us when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
So here's the Harry's ad. I haven't done this in a while. Oh, everybody Harry's. Here has the Harry's razor, yes?
That's right.
Yeah,
right.
I used it this morning.
Love it.
Okay, so everybody's got the Harry's razor. So this is our personal endorsement. Gary uses it.
I do.
Michael uses it. Nigel uses it.
That's right.
Not
used Matt,
it
who is here.
No,
you Matt,
go playoff beard there.
Put
yeah.
Matt on a mic. Matt,
yeah, Matt, here you go.
Matt, do you have the Harry's razor?
Yep, shaved my head with it yesterday.
So wonderful. So that's a perfect six
dome
for six
looks
six
good
at the
too.
Moment.
Yeah.
Very, very good. For decades, one big razor company has relentlessly increased. And I always wonder which one, because there's two really big razor companies. Mm. There's two.
Yeah.
But for decades, one big razor company has relentlessly increased prices and reaped immense profits at the expense of its customers. So Jeff and Andy, two ordinary guys who were fed up with getting ripped off, started Harry's to fix shaving. Harry's knew there was only one way to ensure quality, so they bought their own blade factory. And by taking less profit and selling directly to you over the internet, Harry's offers their blades at half the price, just $2 a blade. Compared to the $4 or more you will pay at the drugstore. Harry's is so confident you will love their blades, they're giving you their trial set for free. Just cover $3 shipping. You're getting a razor, here, a weighted ergonomic razor handle, 5 precision-engineered blades with a lubricating strip and a trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, and a travel blade cover. And you're getting that for $3. It's $13 value for $3 if you cover the shipping. Stop messing around. Get started with Harry's today by claiming your free trial offer, $13 value for free. Just cover the shipping. To get your free trial set, including a razor handle, 5-blade cartridge, and shave gel, go to harrys.com, Tony K, right now. That's harrys.com/Tony K.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
What an optimistic beginning this is. This is Jesse Hightower and his band Interstate Rivals. They're from Beltsville, Maryland. This song is called Situation Room. And he wrote it a couple of years ago. He sent it in because he'd heard about Tory Clark's evacuation plan last week.
So always good to have an evacuation plan.
Yeah, it is good. You can listen to all this music at the end of the show in full. We cut it off now because we welcome Michael Wilbon in. Where are you physically? I've lost track of you. Where are you?
I'm in Bethesda, Maryland.
You're in Bethesda. So when did you come home?
When did I get here? I got here Monday evening.
Right.
Monday evening after...
How was Mexico?
Taking a few days off. It was great.
Well, tell me about Mexico. Not only haven't I been, I'm never going to go. It's just too long.
Where,
flight.
Wilbon? Where
it's
specifically?
Not long at all.
Well, it's in about 5 hours to Mexico?
No.
What? Dude, did somebody give him a map?
Yeah. Well, no, but I thought you were on the west coast of Mexico.
No, I was not in Baja, California.
Oh.
I was not there. I was in a place called Punta Mita,
yeah,
which is right outside Puerto Vallarta, and you can fly there.
Well, that is the west coast of Mexico.
It's closer from one place that I spent a lot of time, Scottsdale. It's closer to Scottsdale than Chicago is.
Okay, but it's still a four-hour flight to Scottsdale.
But no.
But if you're in Scottsdale.
No. Yeah, if you're in. Yes. No, but how would
right.
I be
no,
in
you?
So
it's a
people,
four, right.
People in huge chunks of America, places like Texas and even Georgia, they are nowhere from certain spots in Mexico,
oh.
Obviously.
Okay.
And beautiful resorts, beautiful places, places where people are unbelievably welcoming. They understand that tourism is their business in America. So I didn't even know. I hadn't been to Mexico since I was 25 years old. When I did the obligatory trip to Cancun.
Oh, I've been.
Back when Cancun was.
I've been to Tijuana a few times.
Okay, yeah, that well.
Yeah, that's it.
You know, so it's beautiful. It's absolutely stunning. The weather is the same all year round, which is to say 81 and perfect. And the restaurants, the food, there's a reason why there's so many American tourists who do that, and it's less expensive than a lot of other destinations that are similar, that are, you know, seaside, and you're on the ocean, you're on the Pacific Ocean, for God's sake, where I was. And so I spent 4 days there. I can't spend more than 4 days anywhere because I'm at that stupid, nutty period of my life now where 4 days is the limit on anything.
Right.
And but it was spectacular. Golf.
So is it one of these places, and again, I've never been to what I'm going to describe now, and I'm not going to describe it in detail because I've never been, but there are these resort areas where you never leave the resort, where everything is provided for you and you have your own cabana or something like that, and it's utterly all-inclusive and you don't have to give anybody any money because you paid it up front. Is it one of those places?
It can be that. Depends on how you structure it. Depends on what you get. Cabana, no. Villa, yes.
Okay, well, yeah, villa better than
and,
cabana.
And let me just say the following two words, and you can decide what you think of the quality.
Right.
Four Seasons in St. Regis.
Oh.
Okay. So
okay, all right.
So you cannot leave the property. That's right. You cannot leave it. You could also leave it. We did. We went into town. And
there's a town?
Great restaurants.
Yeah, okay.
And Punta Mita is a town. Now, the resort, you know, the Four Seasons and St. Regis, and we weren't in a hotel either because we had a house. And it's just, you know, the whole thing is stunning from start to finish.
Good.
And, I've never, I don't do that. I wind up going to Scottsdale, or in the summer I like to go to Europe. I like big cities in Europe and Asia. That's what I do. And so this was sort of a Mike go along with everybody else.
This is interesting. You know me well, and I know you well. I can't relax. I'm not good at it. I don't think you're good at it either.
No, I'm not relaxing. Good at it.
And if it's too quiet, like when people say, why don't you go to the country?
Yeah.
If I don't hear noise, I cannot stay there.
Well, there's noise. But you can play.
These are family. Go out there and golf.
Yeah.
These are family places. There's noise because there's kids.
Yeah, that's good.
And
I mean, at night, I want to hear noise.
Let me just tell you this. It's Jack Nicklaus, you know, two golf courses. Again, couple of holes. One hole, it's a par three, 185 yards. You have to get in a boat to go across.
That's a problem.
Oh, I can't. Wow. I don't
That's
like
That's a problem
boats.
For Tony.
Skip that hole.
Then you can walk. You just get your feet are going to be...
Wilbon, is it like a ferry and your cart goes on the boat?
No, or you grab your club?
You just take one club.
And get into a little boat.
Oh, just a putt.
And take the putter over.
Do you have to tip the driver? Or, you know.
And so it was
That's cool.
spectacular. You're on the ocean. And on Easter Sunday morning, you know, Don and I go out. And we say, look, you know, we'd like to have some breakfast first. Can we move our tea time back?
Yeah.
And they said, you can do whatever you want. There's no one here. And people are, it's Easter Sunday morning in Mexico, which means we're talking a very, 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 very Catholic place.
Right.
And everyone is at Mass, and no one's on the golf course except heathens named Wilbon.
Sure. Why not? It's the Heathen Open. Michael and I played.
Went to Catholic school, but who were not observing Easter Sunday. Well, we did observe Easter Sunday. We just observed it at
the first looked at it. Yeah, I understand that. So, you just played two, or did you have more people there? Just Don and Allison?
Close friends were there. We had a spectacular.
That's good.
We had 14 people.
Whoa!
And we had two houses. It was great.
That's good.
It was great.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Did you go crazy at any point that you felt you were disconnected to the world, or did you not?
They got cable.
First of all, they do have cable, but I had the. This is so pathetic. I had the ESPN app, baby.
So there you are.
And so at some point, while a chef is preparing like the greatest dinner of all time, I just go, excuse me, I got to check that Clipper
score. Azul apron.
Yeah, blue apron in Spanish. Yeah,
I got to check that Clipper score.
So I'm walking through a particular dining room 2 days ago, and a guy yells out the following. What's the deal with the Blackhawks?
Yeah.
Get Wilbon. Yeah. Just like that. What happened with the Blackhawks? Are down?
Yeah, down 3-0.
Three nothing. Oh, they're out.
They're out. It's 3-0.
Yeah.
They're being outplayed by a team that got tired of losing to them in the playoffs. The Blackhawks have gone through Nashville at least twice for their three cups.
Right.
And Nashville's a damn good team. And Nashville, I was worried about playing them. As soon as we got the draw, I don't care 1-8 in the NHL, which doesn't mean anything. I just looked at it and said, these people are good, and they got a great goaltender, Pekka, and they got to be tired of losing to the Blackhawks, who go to and raise a cup.
Well, no more Trotsky there, so.
So, yeah, no more Trotsky. So what do you think? You think it's like Chicago and Detroit, ultimately, where they're just going to walk over them and just go by them?
No, they're not going to do that. They just look better. I will say this. If the Blackhawks win a game, if they win the game four, they can win the series.
Yeah.
They've come back from 3-0 before to tie the series and lose game seven in Vancouver a few years ago. But, you know, Vancouver looks... If you told me that one Chicago team playing in the postseason would be up 2-0,
you would be down 3-0. You would never have switched the Bulls.
I don't know which one I'm more surprised at.
Yeah. Well, when a team's best player, when his sister dies and he's discombobulated, clearly, and he's the most important guy on the court for the Celtics, Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah.
You know, that's one of those act of God circumstances, yeah. Don't you think? It really is.
Yeah, Tony, but yeah, yes. I thought the Bulls could actually win the series.
Really?
Because I remember I went to a couple of Bulls-Celtics games this year, and the Bulls have experience with something. Well, the only guy on the team that has experience with it, I really are Dwayne Wade, specifically Wade and Butler, from different viewpoints. The Miami Heat, featuring, of course, Dwayne Wade, among others, they took Derrick Rose. out of the back end of a conference final when Rose was MVP. And they did that because they just said, you know what, we got big people who were athletic as hell, and we're not letting a 6'3" guy beat us. And the Bulls are now applying that to Isaiah Thomas. And they're saying, we're not letting the 5'9"
That's
guy
right.
beat us.
That's right.
We're going to trap you, you're going to give it up, and this is how we're going to play you. And they were, you know, God bless him for playing. I don't even know how he can pull himself together. He had a great game one, Tony. I know you weren't paying attention to this, but he had 33 points and 6 assists, I think, in game one. So that's not like...
That's right. That's you know, fine.
But they, Jimmy Butler's the best player on the court.
They've never looked. This needs to be pointed out about the Boston Celtics. And Brad Stevens is a wonderful coach, and that's a wonderful team. But they've never won a playoff series.
No, they haven't.
They haven't, and they don't have... You know, they are a weak number one. If you were to pick what number one seed is going out, 100 out of 100, you're going to pick them and not Golden State.
That's right.
You are.
And so, but last night was shocking to me. I ran my mouth on PTI and said, I think the Bulls can, exactly what I said was, I think the Bulls can win this series, but I think they have no chance to win game two. And they're going to lose this game by 15 to 18 points.
They didn't.
No.
I checked.
I mean, they stepped on them.
Yeah.
And Rondo is Rondo. I mean, the Bulls have three people on that team who know how to play and who know how to close. And Wade and Rondo looked like they got in the Wayback Machine and said, we're not having this.
Well,
and they just took the Celtics down.
Rondo is one of the five most interesting athletes in the world because he has great talent. He's really smart on a basketball court, and he is universally hated by every coach who's ever had him. He is.
And he's
clearly motivated.
He had a triple double in the first quarter last night.
No, he's clearly motivated.
by the whole Celtics matchup.
Yes.
Oh,
you know
yes.
what I mean? Like that's clearly a thing that's got him. He's now trying as hard as he can.
He's hated by coaches.
But you know, so who knows? I mean, the playoffs have been very. The first few, we're only at game two in any of these. It's been fascinating because the Clippers, the Clippers are in a situation where you go, what is it going to take to wake you people up? Your whole team is going to be disbanded after after you lose, if you lose. And they went out and lost a game without Rudy Gobert on Utah, and so that's an interesting situation. Cleveland, LeBron keeps swearing that they're going to be fine, except, they can barely get past Indiana in two games. And I want to see... if there's a 2-1 situation, I want to see game four in Indianapolis. I mean, Paul George is talking about his own teammates and calling people out publicly. And it's been pretty interesting so far. But I did not see a scenario where the Bulls would be up 2-0 on the Celtics, even with Isaiah Thomas having to play through this unspeakable thing.
So I've got to ask you this, and I don't have much myself on this. I just don't. But Aaron Hernandez, I mean, I'm watching ESPN. It's about, I'd say, 6:30 in the morning. And because I want to go get the weather from Sheena Parveen around, weather on
Natch.
The ones, I go...
Get something from Sheena Parveen. I'm not sure it's the weather.
Yeah, I go to Channel 4, and they're saying, Aaron Hernandez dead.
I'm sorry, what did you just say?
Am I waking you with this?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Aaron Hernandez found at about 5 in the morning, hanged himself, reportedly.
With sheets.
In his own jail cell unto death. Aaron Hernandez.
Look, this young man lived a violent life that I know nothing about.
Yeah.
Even after reading it during the first trial and all that went on with around him. That he was involved with or allegedly involved with or perhaps involved
Well, certainly convicted on one murder.
Convicted on one. It just, I'm not going to sit here and pretend to have any grasp
that's how
Aaron
I feel.
Hernandez. I just don't. And Tony, I didn't pay attention to the second trial. I'm like, you know what? He's already away for life.
It doesn't matter.
So
he got acquitted.
He got acquitted, but I was not moved by that on any level. And, definitely waking me with this news. I didn't know that.
I mean, I didn't, having said this already, I just didn't see this. After you get acquitted on a double murder,
yeah, but you're in jail
you think
for
you
life.
Can, but maybe you can appeal.
But maybe you come to, maybe that whole trial just has you come to face to face with, like, even if I get off here, I'm 27 and I will be in jail until I am dead.
Yeah, it's a hollow win.
It's so was really okay. Man, yeah, and I don't. I mean, I'm sure we're going to have to deal with it, but I don't have.
I don't know that we're going to have to deal with it.
Neither of us really has much to
say. What do you say?
Yeah,
what do you say?
Nothing to say.
This is just, you know, it's the whole thing is unspeakable from soup to nuts.
All right, so I will actually see you later. Then you'll be in. That's great. I'll be in.
Are you here?
I'm here.
Oh my God!
I'm here.
You're here.
Yeah, I took 2 days off. Count them too.
You joined the 99%ers. You joined the rest of the world.
Don't you dare put yourself in there.
Don't you dare.
When you went to Punta Mita, whatever it was, don't you put yourself in there.
It wasn't a cabana. You know, it was a villa.
Yeah.
You know, it was just a little villa.
How many bedrooms in that little villa, Wilbon?
You know, 4 to 6.
You got to spread out a little bit.
Somewhere.
All right, I'll see you later.
All right, Tom.
Michael Wilbon, boys and girls. We'll take a break. We'll come back with news. Nigel will do the news. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Chores can seem endless. Chores? What, do you still get an allowance too? So polish your car while you shine up your life with Audible. Audible is a leading provider of premium digital spoken audio information and entertainment on the internet. Audible content includes an unmatched selection of audiobooks and other audio products. The other audio products really help your life get that glossy finish. Users can sign up as an Audible listener, which gives them book credits and access to short programs now playing in channels each month for a low monthly fee. Customers download their choices and can access them on their iPhone, Android device, Kindle, iPod, or other MP3 player. Come on, even I have one of these devices. I used to only listen to nonfiction audio where I could learn something. But maybe now I need to queue up some business titles with my recent ventures. Maybe I'd be better off looking in self-help or fantasy. Okay, back to the copy. No matter what genre of book you read, Audible has it. And now I'm able to enjoy a walk with my dog and listen to my favorite books. And you can too. You can listen to books on walks with your dog. That is, you can't take Chessie yet. I wonder if Chessie listened to the Monk book when training me. Audible is offering our listeners a free audiobook with a 30-day trial membership. Just go to audible.com/Tony and browse the unmatched selection of audio programs. Download a title free. Start listening. It's that easy. Go to audible.com/Tony. That is audible.com/Tony and get started today.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show.
The band is Fortune's Folly. The tune is If I Let You Go. It's off the newest album, I guess, from Fortune's Folly, Purple EP, which was released last month. It has some of that nostalgic old guy radio sound and feel that I hope it brings TK some enjoyment, as his radio show and podcast has brought to me for the last 16 years. This is Ira Maisie, the guitar. He signs it guitarist and little and says, P.S. Trots, 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 go Caps. Well, you got a ways to go.
Sorry.
On that. You got a ways to go on that.
Yes.
Again, all of this music can be listened to in full at the end of the show. Michael, if people want to send in their original music, how do they do it?
They can email it to jingles@tonykornheisershow.com.
And since we haven't plugged gear for a while, if people want some gear, what do we have laying around gear-wise?
We have some tumblers. Now that's the spring season, you might like a water bottle tumbler or even a t-shirt.
Right. That would
and
be great.
And you can go to shop.tonykornheisershow.com. We still
beer
have
drink.
Some.
And we also, good beer drink
we also I should say this.
It's no longer
we
March, also are, but we still have those pint glasses.
Right, and we have partner, in Johnny O is our partner in a different circumstance.
That
but
is
I
correct.
I made sure to wear Johnny O yesterday.
I've been wearing a lot of Johnny O on your extended vacation.
And if people want to
There's actually a link through our show's website, tonykornheisershow.com. It's a hyperlink. Or they can just use the Tony K code, and that should direct them at checkout.
Wonderful. Hashtag activate your tweener.
Yes. So anyway, Nigel has news.
Yes, indeed.
So ends the plug portion of the show, which
sell
I haven't
some
done
shirts.
For 2 days.
Yep. Yeah, got to move product, right?
Yeah. Got a blister on my thumb.
Blister on
move
my finger.
Move refrigerators.
Right.
Yeah. Why don't we ever play that song?
What song? Blister on my thumb? Money for Nothing?
Money for Nothing.
Well, we can play it. We'll play that tomorrow. Would you like to play that tomorrow?
I like Money
he
for
never
nothing.
Plays it. We talk about it.
I know.
We do talk about
one
it.
Job. Got one
why
job.
Won't you play
it's
it?
Great floor.
Play
the
Money
show.
For
he
Nothing.
Just refuses to play it.
Yes.
I don't care what Tony thinks. That's what
selfish.
He said recently.
Because he's selfish.
Yeah.
Yes, that is actually 100% true.
Push the button.
Blake Treinen. Oh, do you want me to push the button? Hold on. Just
no, did you say Blake Treinen?
Is that?
Wait, did you say Blake Treinen?
A lot of people just cheered.
Let me read from the paper today.
Yes, Blake Treinen.
Freddie Freeman. Treinen, they're up 3-0.
Yeah.
In the ninth.
Right. So what do? You bring in your closer, right?
Right.
That's the move.
Freddie Freeman.
He's going to the righty.
Treinen with a line drive single to right field on the right-hander's first pitch. Nick Markakis then grounded into a fielder's choice to second base before Brandon Phillips followed with another line single to right field. Treinen then walked the next two batters to push home Atlanta's only run.
By the way,
and coaxed Dusty Baker didn't out give of up the a dugout, hit, though. Signaling for Sean Kelly.
Let me point out that Kurt Suzuki, I think, is hitting like 12 or something like that.
It was like 101.
And I believe his career average is somewhere around there,
and
too.
And those two walks in nine pitches. And the only pitch that was the first walk in four straight pitches, the second one in five straight balls, one of which was a called strike. I mean, he could not throw a strike. He and looked scared, basically.
They zoomed in on his face.
Dusty Baker after the game, quote, "We got to do something to shore up our closer
yes,
situation because this ain't working."
Good for him. Skip.
Yeah. So that lasted, what, a couple of weeks?
Stuff, though. The ball just explodes out of his hand.
Filthy. Well,
got the best stuff.
He
got the
said,
best sinker in America.
He didn't throw it last
America.
Night.
Try the world, yeah, Tone.
But 28-year-old Treinen said after the game, "I don't really know what to attest for it. I felt good in warm-ups. Felt like the eight pitches I threw to Wieters before the inning started were right where I wanted them. Honestly, I felt like it was going to be a really good inning for me."
Hey, you know what?
There's another quote we have that begins with "honestly."
Yeah, yeah.
Why don't you find that?
Right, yeah. Well,
I used to make every shot I took in practice.
I love that.
I'm not in the NBA.
You put me on a driving range.
Right.
I got the 6-iron up in the air. You put me on the course. It's a worm burner.
Yeah,
it goes 65
it's
yards.
Not the same thing.
Different
it's not
you,
the
same. When you got live bullets. But good for Dusty Baker. Just basically saying, we're not going to, you know,
can't have
this. Enough of this experiment.
We can't have this.
Just go with
honestly,
Sean Kelly.
What the f*** are we doing here?
Michael, what do they do? Who do they go to?
They're probably going to go to Sean Kelly or maybe bring in Joe Nathan, the old.
Is he still in the minors?
Yeah, he is, but he's been fine. He's been successful.
But you think
Coda Glover is still the long-term solution. I think they still want him to mature a little bit or get used to that. But he has the mentality of a closer. Treinen just looks like a guy who wants the ball in the seventh or the eighth, who wants to show off his dynamite stuff but can't end the game.
Dynamite
to Gary's
stuff.
Point, his face, he looked afraid holding
is
the ball
that right?
before he
Tony,
pitched.
Tony, he was
he
scared.
He looked scared, yeah.
Red Sox fans would call that the Calvin Schiraldi face.
I remember
and they
Calvin.
Remember it well in 86. Wow, he doesn't look all that confident, does he?
You know who shut down a game last night? Drew Storen.
He did.
Cincinnati Reds,
oh,
baby.
For the Reds.
Yep. Close him out.
You don't want to bring him
nope.
back.
No.
No.
And you would not advocate to bring Johnny Papelbon back, would you?
Absolutely not.
Guys,
but
love
Matt Scherzer. Matt Scherzer is the only Cy Young Award winner ever who pitches in hard luck.
The best.
Like, he could have had no decision there because of that bullpen. This has happened to him. He's pitched great games, even yielding the home run early, and he's lost when the bullpen has
through 115
too many,
plus
too many
Dusty rolls him out there for,
too many
but man
too many
he,
pitches
nobody's
he's early.
Efficient at the end
and he works so quickly, you gotta love that.
He's the best
he works
he
fast.
Is he's so fun to watch
he's
so
best.
Into it
yeah
he's
the best.
Did
he's
you like
great.
The new stadium?
I didn't get a sense when I was looking at it. I didn't get a sense that it was yeah I mean, this is Turner Field was only 20 years old.
Yeah, 1996.
It's only 20 years old, and the sense was that demographically they couldn't fill it up, so let's move it to where our fans are going to be. 20 years old.
Well, Tori, you have to start the game at 7:35 to account for traffic.
You know, Atlanta traffic is the two worst
horrendous.
Traffic situations I've ever seen are Atlanta and Houston.
And they're down a freeway.
And yeah, because it was
that's right.
crackhead fire. That took down an overpass on I-85.
Oh, yeah. But you know, the fact that Turner Field was 20 years old underscores for me what a marvel Camden Yards is celebrating its 25th anniversary.
Beautiful. Nobody wants to change
nice
it.
Opening.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Nobody wants I think I'm going up there Saturday night. It's always fun to see a game up there.
Are you going to be the public
address
announcer?
You throwing out the first
announcer?
Pitch?
No, just as a fan. Just okay. going to just going
actually
to see
coming in for relief.
Yeah, okay. I might be a relief pitch for that.
Well,
by the way,
Zach Britton on the DL, so... They
yes.
might need you.
Yes. The strange ending to the game last night after Treinen's flameout.
They missed the call. The on plate umpire missed the call.
He missed a lot of calls.
Yeah. It was. It looked like a third strike. He swung and missed it.
He missed.
And the umpire said
well,
no, it was a foul
miss.
Tip. And the replay showed clearly
missed it
by a lot.
Right.
And Jason Wirth in particular had to be restrained from going after the umpire after the game.
That's just absolutely livid. Long term, that's a dumb thing for Jason Wirth to do.
Yes.
He was dumb. I think he was annoyed because he had been called out on, as Michael pointed out, the strike zone was all over the place. Not just wide, but just unpredictable.
But a 3-1 game, bases loaded. That could have been a
So he gets called out. Mistake. He gets called out on but which is probably a little bit worse than when he strikes out with his right knee on the ground all the time.
He's the one player on that team that can say something in that situation.
Yes, so. He's a veteran and he's won World Series. Right, he was on a World Series winner in
Philadelphia. Yes, that's right. Steve Albert, the notable broadcaster, long time, 45 years in
first time, long time, stepping down,
retiring. Yeah.
I was sort of surprised at that. Isn't he a brother? Isn't he one of Marv's brothers?
I believe he is.
Isn't there Al and Steve, and they're all? I think Steve is the youngest. I think Al is second.
Zeppo is the youngest. I'm not sure.
I don't. But Marv's not retiring. Marv's the best.
Marv's he's well into his 70s.
Marv's the best.
Yes, Marv is still the
like Al Michaels.
Best.
No need to man. Yeah. Still dominating.
Marv on play by play on basketball and hockey. Is still the best.
Yes.
So why would he retire?
Yes.
It's like Al is the best on football.
I mean,
why would you retire?
Here's some of the things that Steve did in his career. He was the voice of the Nets, Golden State Warriors, the Hornets, was the announcer for Showtime Boxing for 24 years, did play-by-play work for the Mets, the Jets, the
brother
Islanders,
of Al, young, youngest brother of Al and Marv, and an uncle of Kenny.
It's funny you say that. The New York Post headline about his retirement reads, Marv Albert's younger brother ends 45-year career in sports broadcasting. That's the headline.
That hurts.
Ouch.
That hurts.
That's a dagger.
That is tough.
Steve,
that hurts.
That's why I told my parents not to have any more kids.
45 years. He's Marv's younger brother.
Yep. Always will be.
Ouch.
It looks like the Verizon Center is going to host some NCAA men's basketball.
What was the original name of the Verizon Center?
MCI Arena.
MCI.
I couldn't think of it the other
day.
Yeah,
the MCI. Okay. And when was it built?
The Arena.
I always forget when that was built down there. Because
late 90s?
96,
that was the beginning of the transformation of this city. Because there was nothing down there.
Yeah.
And now that's everything has sort of flowed from that.
Yeah.
But it looks
they
like
broke ground October 18th, 1995.
I was there.
Open December 2, 1997.
I have a small pin at home. A small pin at home of a gold-plated, it's not gold, it's just gold-plated.
Gold-plated phone?
Shovel. No, because we're not doing The Godfather Part 2. A gold-plated shovel with a little thing around it, you know, piece of paper that says groundbreaking at.
So yes, they'll be hosting some 2019 tournament regional games.
Cool.
They've done that
did
before.
Did that a couple years ago. Always,
yes,
and,
they did.
Also, DC back in the NCAA tournament hosting game. Georgetown will be the host for 2019, the East Regional Finals.
Which means that if your school...
When Georgetown's in it,
they can't
huge
play.
Home court advantage.
No, you can't play. Not allowed to play.
I'll cross that bridge when we come to it.
I'm just telling you, if you're the nominal host...
You can't play.
And that's why one year George Mason was the host.
So
I
even
don't,
so
I don't
e,
think
Tony,
you're
even
allowed
if Georgetown,
to play.
So you couldn't, they could not be the number one seed in that region then, because that would put them on their home floor.
Wow, no, that's it's, a it's, big your home, it's your home floor.
Wow.
What are you talking
I'm
about?
I'm not worried about that.
Okay.
By the way, I should point out that today's mailbag is specifically for you.
Oh, great.
Today, so you should just know that. A very disturbing story over the weekend that stretched into Tuesday. This is a what's been called as a Facebook killing. This occurred in Cleveland on Sunday afternoon around 2 o'clock. 74-year-old Robert Godwin Sr. was walking down the street, and a man pulled up in a car, a white Ford Fusion, rolled down the window, asked Godwin to say a woman's name, and then raised his gun and pulled the trigger, shooting him somewhere in the head region and fatally shooting him. And the whole encounter was captured on video that was soon uploaded to Facebook. This set off.
It was captured on video because the shooter
was videoing
it. Running it.
Yes. That's right. It was live.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it was
streaming
it
live on Facebook.
Right.
So the killer then, there was about a basically a 2-day manhunt that the authorities were asking for leads on him, and there was reports of him all over the country, including in Washington, D.C. Later on Tuesday afternoon, he pulled up to a McDonald's drive-through in Pennsylvania, and they recognized him there, and they called police. They tried to stall him, saying, "Oh, your French fries will take just a little longer, sir." He's like, "I don't have time." He pulled away, correctly assuming.
And then shot himself.
And then he was on a chase,
Chris,
and shot himself.
Yeah, this is an enormous story.
Yeah, I mean, it's a So Facebook has been pushing Facebook Live, which is essentially we could do it from here if we wanted to, where you sign on to your account and you literally just live stream.
Because I'd have to have an account.
I could do it and live stream for as long as you like. You know, they view this video, web video, live streaming video as the future of journalism and many other things. But the issue is, of course, this sort of stuff, that people use it for. This is the most nefarious use that we've seen for it. But they had their huge conference yesterday, Facebook. Coincidentally, they had their big yearly annual conference. And, you know, there were questions raised because the guy did it at like 10 o'clock at night. Is that right, Nigel? I think it was at night and by... It was still up at 12:30 or 1 a.m., so it was up for 2 hours. You could literally watch someone murder another human. Not that you would necessarily have found it, but, you know, how do they police that? Obviously, they have hundreds of millions of members, all with the potential to, you know, with a press of their phone, immediately begin live streaming on video, whatever they're doing. How do you... You know, and this is the dark side, to be cliche, the dark side of the technological advances we have made is stuff like this. And unfortunately, you're going to see, my guess is, I don't know if you see more murders, but you're going to see more stuff like this. You've already seen people being beaten on Facebook Live. Yes. This is a step further than that, but I can't imagine that
you wouldn't want to censor the entire operation.
Well, this is the problem.
Well, live.
There was a shooting a year or two ago of a TV reporter. It wasn't streamed live, but someone recorded it on their phone and then posted it.
That was in Virginia.
Right. I heard Dave Ross on CBS Radio with an editorial on this yesterday, and he brought up a great point. Facebook now, with the ability that Facebook Live provides, has become essentially the largest television network in the world. Okay, TV networks, Tony, you work for one. They don't allow just any schmo to point a camera at something and put it on television live, and that's ostensibly what they're doing now.
They are calling for Zuckerberg to put restraints in place.
They've got to figure something out.
Honestly. Let's say you say that they won't do this because of First Amendment, but let's say you say we need to pre-approve everything that goes on.
Who's supposed to do that?
And how could you? You're talking about the scale of it is not that we're not talking about 10 people doing it. We're talking about tens of millions of people. I mean, you can't.
Well, there's some software or algorithm that would have to figure it out, and then you know and something slips through the cracks.
Before the internet came along, and before this came along. There were crazy people who would want to act out like this, but they would get no particular publicity. Nobody else would see it, and that might have discouraged them. Now you have egomaniacal,
big celebrity
maniac, out there.
I hate to be cavalier about it, but you think this is never going to happen again?
No. I mean, of course, the guy dominated the news for 2 straight days. Right. It was the lead story on cable for 2 straight days. I know, because
people will
it.
Make bombs live and blow them up live. Of course they will do that. Yeah. But I don't think you can let
but what's
put the genie
solution?
Back in the bottle. Yeah. I don't have one.
And that's Zuckerberg's problem. I mean, you know, that's the problem. Challenge, there's no obvious solution here beyond saying we're not going to do this
anymore.
Because,
by the way,
they're not going to do that.
When you think of this, when you invent this, you don't think that this is going to happen. You are inventing this so more people can be in communication with more people. That's all it is.
Yes.
So anyway. Are we good?
I just one final story, Mr. Tony. We reported on this a few weeks ago about a wild turkey flying.
Not the drink.
Do we have the I team on this?
Flew into the car.
Yes, flying into the car.
Yes, the Kornheiser I team has been out
dispatched
in Indiana. Yes, to check this out. It was a few reports of wild turkeys flying into cars in Indiana, and now another has flown into an SUV. This is the fourth wild turkey that has flown
into
Indiana?
A
car. In Indiana?
Are they the same family?
You know what they say?
Did he Facebook Live it?
We don't know if they're related. It's just a sinister pattern that is developing with these wild turkeys.
The first three could be an accident.
But
four?
No, it's not. This is too much.
Sending a message.
And by the way, it hit the Tahoe was traveling 55 miles an hour.
Those Tahoes are big.
Yes. It went the windshield, and as I'm looking, it was made it all the way to the rear of the car, was in the trunk of the car. So.
Where it attempted to eat one of the children?
Yes, it really was.
It seized the driver, the steering wheel.
And this is from the Danville Police in Indiana. We'd like to give you some tips on how to avoid something like this.
Don't drive.
But we've got nothing.
No, they don't have, no. Of course they have nothing.
Thank you for that.
Because we haven't seen this before.
Yes.
So we haven't seen mad wild turkeys.
Yes.
All right. So when we come back, we'll have Olga. We'll have Barry Svrluga for people who are saying, well, when are you going to get to the Capitals? Well, we're going to get to them next. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Legacy Box ad. Michael always comes to me and he says, we have the opportunity to do this or the opportunity to do that. And about half the time, I would say, no, I'm not interested in that, right? About half the time?
Three quarters publicly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
But Legacy Box intrigued
me. I know about this. It intrigued me.
Legacy Box intrigued me. So I'm gonna read the copy. When was the last time you watched your home movies? If you're like most Americans, there's a box in your closet of videotapes, film reels, and photos that don't get watched or taken out. And worse, they're actually deteriorating. Legacy Box is a simple and affordable way to get your recorded moments digitally preserved on DVD or thumb drive. Now, I don't know what thumb drive is. I have some sense of what DVD is, and I know that I've got a lot of things laying around that I haven't looked at in years, and I have photos from 40 and 50 years ago, and they've faded terribly, and I wish that they could be reconstituted in the way that they were.
Like, this is a thumb drive, Tony. Huh? Tony, this is a thumb drive.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is the thing you can plug right into your computer.
Just saves information.
So I would like to do this. Here's how it works. You load Legacy Box with your old tapes, film, pictures, and audio recordings, and you send it back. You'll get them back in a couple of weeks on DVD or a convenient thumb drive. For those of you who watched on News Channel 8, they saw Gary take that out. Ready to watch, share, and relive. Legacy Box takes care of everything and provides updates at every step of the process, and that's why over 250,000 families have used them. The Huffington Post, Parents Magazine, USA Today, and The View are all talking about Legacy Box. And for a limited time, you can go to legacybox.com/TonyK to get a 40% discount on your order. Wow. That's legacybox.com/TonyK for 40% off. legacybox.com/TonyK.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is Old Guy Radio for the day. This is Georgia on My Mind. This has been sung by a million people, nobody as well as Ray Charles, who's singing this version. This version is from 57 years ago in 1960. And this is Nigel's way of saying, where have you been for the last 2 days? Well, this is where I've been. I've been in Georgia. And now I'm back. And now I'm not going anywhere again for a while. And by a while, I mean about a week. And then I'm going to Delaware for one day.
A number one hit for Ray Charles and has become the state song for Georgia.
Ray Charles?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Do you know his backup group, the singers?
Oh, I should know.
The Raylettes.
The Raylettes, that's right.
The Raylettes. Fantastic.
Great singing in What I Say, right? The backup.
Yeah.
Terrific.
I mean, you don't like Ray Charles, what?
Exactly.
I mean, stop. Exactly. Of course you like Ray Charles. For people who have been asking, when are you going to get to the Capitals? I'm going to get to the Capitals now because we're going across borders to Canada, to Toronto, where Barry Svrluga is there covering what may or may not be the demise of the Washington Capitals. And we'll get to that. I need to do this first. Trinan, just tell me. Just tell me this is not
going to happen. Come on, Barry.
Tell me this is done. This is done.
I have to believe it's done. And, you know, there is a – I'm gonna write this. I might write it today. There is a trickle down here in that that clubhouse will see this not so much as a failure of Blake Trinan, which of course it is, but a failure of management.
They
will look around and say, look at the team that you have assembled here. Find the weaknesses other than perhaps a shaky defensive start. The starting pitching is excellent. The lineup looks deep. If there are, in fact, a revived Ryan Zimmerman and a useful Jason Worth, then wow, that is a lineup that's going to score a lot of runs over the course of the season. And you have put this team in position to take 3-0 leads into the ninth and have them be far from sure things. That is how the clubhouse will perceive this. I think Dusty Baker is kind of backed into a corner here. I think, given what Kelly did last night, and I was not able to find Masson north of the border, so I was left to watch hockey and watch this on Gamecast on my phone. But given what Kelly did in cleaning up Trinan's mess and then even surviving that weirdness with the non-foul tip, I think that Sean Kelly probably gets the next shot when they have a one-run lead in the ninth.
Trey Turner, by the way, why is he out? When is he coming back?
It's a hamstring groin or hamstring, one of those two. He's going to test it in the minors. He should be back soon.
By the way, not just the clubhouse views it as a failure of management, but don't we as fans view it that way too? I mean, we all knew going into this thing that was a glaring hole.
Yeah, well, I think that, but I think the clubhouse thing is more important because you could sell to the fan base, Tony, but you could sell to, you know, hey, closers have to become closers for the first time somewhere, and we made legitimate runs at the, you know, two of the three big guys who were out there and simply lost, and Blake Trinan's stuff is, you know, 97 with sink and
filthy.
blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Nasty.
But,
dynamite.
But it means more to me that the clubhouse would react poorly to it because fans are, my apologies, Tony, quite volatile.
Yes. Yes. No, okay. All right, we're good on that. All right, so let's get to the Capitals.
Speaking of volatile fans.
Talking about how fans might be. Where are we now with the Capitals?
Where are we now?
I feel like we're all over the map. And I wrote this morning that I did get a sense, even though I'm in Toronto, that there are kind of two camps among the ardent Capitals fan base. One is the, come on, stop bringing up this stuff from the past. This team is different, and the situation is different, and, you know, Kevin Shattenkirk doesn't know anything about 3-1 collapses against the Penguins 20 years ago, blah, 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 blah. There is the other camp that is like, oh, my gosh, here we go again, which I think you just can't escape with this franchise. It's just the wrong... there's no way you can divorce a 40-year history of, failure in all kinds of different ways. Failure from behind, failure from ahead, failure when you're favored, failure when you're the underdog. This is the year that it matters the most, and we've probably said that for, you know, 4 out of the last 8 years or something. They have won the President's Trophy three different times and, of course, never advanced past the second round. But this is the team that... I think hockey people would tell you is their best team, and they have allowed Toronto, to feel like they can win. This is a young Toronto team with something like 11 guys in their lineup who have never played in the playoffs before, and there's no pressure on them. They are playing with absolute house money, and if you don't think there's real pressure on the Caps and that they don't hear about, and some of them don't even think about their past failures, I think you're wrong.
This is the question that I want to get to, because you're not a cheerleader. I mean, you go in there and approach writing a column the way it ought to be approached. I can't imagine. There's a lot of people on this team. They weren't all brought in with Shattenkirk in the middle of the season. There's a lot of people who've lived with these failures. Alexander Ovechkin, chief among them, has lived with all of these failures in the last 10 or 12 years, whatever it is. I can't even imagine that doubt isn't creeping into the players. I can't imagine that. I'm not saying they're going to tell you, but I can't imagine it isn't.
Well, that's where we're at. And I was going to go back and look at past stories from similar situations, and I just, you know, it's kind of mind-numbing because the quotes are going to be the same. You know, we what matters is what we think of this room, and we know we're a good team for a reason, and we won 55 games and had 118 points during the regular season because we are so good, and we just, it's on us. I think they would be very similar in 2017, 2016, 2010, whenever they have been in these situations where they're heavy favorites and are struggling. But I think you're right. I think when they go back to their rooms and the squirrels start running around in their own heads and they're trying to kill off the hours between games, they know exactly what a loss on Wednesday night and a loss in this series would mean. I mean, and we're not there yet, but this would be the worst series loss in franchise history. And some people are talking about it as one of the biggest upsets in NHL history in the first round, because Toronto had to scramble to get in the playoffs on the last weekend, and as I said, are really kind of built not for this year, but for 2 or 3 years down the road. And the Capitals were, as you said, they're not all mid-season additions.
They're not.
They were built for this.
Ovechkin and Backstrom have been on the team for a long time.
There's a lot of guys have been here 3 years, 4 years. They know
they've been here. So the nine, they've been in the playoffs 9 out of the last 10 years. That's the Ovechkin, Backstrom era. That Ovechkin and Backstrom have been here the entire time. But you look at, you know, guys like John Carlson and Carl Alsner, who's hurt. Even Holtby has been the starting goaltender in the playoffs since 2012, which is a sneaky long time now. You know, Marcus Johansson has been here. You know, there are pieces that have that experience and know what the failure means. And I gotta believe too, you know, it's not like if you were playing somewhere else or you were coming up through the minors, that Washington Capitals news is not available to you. you're aware of the franchise's history because that's the thing that defines the Washington Capitals. Even I said something to my brother about, well, you know, I don't know if I could do anything in May because, you know, kind of the Caps are the best team in hockey and I got to see how long they go. And he immediately fired back and said, yeah, I mean, let's be realistic. They're the best team in the regular season, but they won't be playing in mid-May. I mean, that's the outside view. That's the easy punchline. And I think the Caps fan base has to understand that that's not fluky. I mean, that is hard-earned. Those are hard-earned titles because an entire sport views you over years as big-time chokers.
I would extend this. I'm not going to say big-time chokers, but certainly Barry Trotz has a long history of failure in the playoffs. I don't think he ever reached a conference final, even though when he was brought here, he was regarded as the greatest coach since Toe Blake. But he's never reached the conference finals. How's he doing with this?
Well, and that is now we're into legitimate kind of analysis of that. And you know, being in Toronto, you get kind of exposed to the highest level
hockey,
you know,
writing.
Hockey cognitive.
They know what they're doing. Sure,
they understand it. I mean, I would admit that X and O hockey stuff. I'd be much more comfortable at Nats Park than at Verizon Center if I'm writing X's and O's. But they are convinced that Mike Babcock, the Maple Leafs coach, who has won a Stanley Cup with the Red Wings and is generally regarded as one of the best in the business, is working Barry Trotz over at the moment. And I think that even somebody, a simple-minded hockey person like me, can see that if you are in what ends up being a tie game going into the third period after the Caps blew two goal leads that game three was, you can't play Alex Ovechkin, who already had a goal and was skating on a line that had produced two goals in the first period. You can't play him his second fewest minutes in his playoff history. And the only other time he played fewer minutes was when Dale Hunter was the coach and he was essentially hated Alex Ovechkin and everything he stood for and all but benched him that half season that he was in Washington. So Trotz, I thought, said a couple somewhat disturbing things yesterday. One was it's on him to get Ovechkin more minutes. Ovechkin was playing well. This was not a benching situation. That doesn't seem to me. It seemed to me that he was overthinking that, trying to play for the right matchups and allowing Babcock to kind of run his bench in a sense. I also think he's kind of doing this whole, like, look, the regular season doesn't matter once you get to the playoffs thing, which is just not – that's junk. I mean, yeah. It matters because you have to accept the role that you are the favorite. You are the heavy favorite. You're supposed to win. You have to absorb and kind of thrive with that pressure. And just kind of dismissing it as like, oh, well, it's always two good teams in the playoffs is juvenile and not doesn't accurately reflect where they are.
So great, because every time I say the name Trotz, I think that's actually a nickname. Because it seems like his name.
His nickname
is longer than his actual name. I want to get to this because if they win tonight, and it's 2-2, everybody's okay. But if they lose, it's 3-1. In recent years, we saw the Cubs beat the Indians down 3-1. We saw the Cavaliers beat the Warriors down 3-1. The year before, we saw the Warriors beat the Rockets down 3-1. 3-1 is not insurmountable. Right, or is it with the Caps?
No. It's not. It's not. I mean, it is far from desirable. This Caps, you know, the Ovechkin era Caps, came back from 3-1 deficit against the Rangers 1 year, and I'm going to misplace the year, but
okay. Somewhere
it
in the
can
2000s.
Be done. And I would say that, you know, I mean, if they do win tonight, yeah, everything's kind of dialed back, and they'll probably win the series.
Yes,
I mean,
I
honestly,
I think so.
Yeah, when they went up 2-0, I really expected, okay, they're going to be in control from here on out. I think that the problem with being down 3-1 is not whether it's insurmountable or not. It's just the discussion that we are having this morning gets ramped up by 150% because now they're on the precipice and there's no room for error. Right. I think they need the exact start they had the other night. They need to quiet this building, which honestly, as crazy as Hockey Town as this is, the building is ready to be quiet. It's a lot of corporate people in the lower bowl, and they were very, very library-like after the Caps 2-0 lead. If they do that, they can be right back in control of the series with two of the remaining three games at home and some confidence coming back.
If okay. they lose, can you imagine how nervous the atmosphere will be here Friday night?
Oh, my goodness.
Down 3-1. Speaking of 3-1, by the way, that game was over. Game three was over when the Caps up 3-1 with a two-man
yep.
advantage.
Yeah, they didn't score.
And then they didn't score. And then there was a power play right after that.
Right.
They didn't score.
To me, you could argue that if they score in one of those two situations and go up 4-1,
the series is over. Yeah.
The series is
I'm
over.
With you.
It's that big of a turning point.
Okay. All right. We'll see you when you get back. Thank you.
Appreciate it, Tony.
Barry's for Luga Boys and Girls, who we love. We will take a break. And when we come back, we will have an email jingle, which I'm told is about Saliza.
Mm, sure, it's positive.
And we'll have Weiss. And we'll have some email. I'm Tony Cornheiser.
The email's also about Saliza.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Well, yeah, they've been through two coaches named John Thompson.
Wow, this didn't start well.
But now it's time that someone new took the reins. You know that campus doesn't have its own venue. Makes it kind of tough to recruit against Notre Dame.
Wow.
It said they talked to Shaka. Texas TV deal will keep him around. And Mike Bray don't want that spot out near Key Bridge. So yeah, Chris, Patrick Ewing's gonna coach
Georgetown. Wow. Patrick Thanks for ruining one of my favorite songs.
Great by John Fitzpatrick. It's just great.
It really is.
It's great. Before we get into the mailbag, I want to say thanks to Michael Wilbon and Barry's for Luga for coming on with me today. I'd also like to thank our sponsors, Harry's Razors, Audible.com, and Legacy Box. Please support them the way they support our podcast. Remember to subscribe and listen to new and archived episodes of the Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including iTunes, Spotify, and Google Play. And if you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. There's a very long thing here from Randall Hallett, and it's about our first child, a masculine child, celebrates his first birthday on April 24th, which is next week. I want to include you, Tori, Gary, David, Jeannie, Chris, Kevin, and of course Nigel in this celebration because all of you played a significant role in the first month of his life. More on that in a second. And it just goes on. He had some troubles at the beginning of his life, and it's apparently doing much better at this
Thank
point.
Thank goodness.
So we're very happy. He's recovered nicely, walking at 8.5 months, putting words together at 11 months, giving us blessed joy every day of his existence. And he also says Randall Hallett, he says, for the past 2 years on my son's birthday, I sent Omaha Steaks to members of the show in appreciation of a time when I needed a laugh and a smile with the new undisclosed location. I don't have an actual address to mail the steaks to. A P.O. box is not accepted.
Well, just D.C., I think. Just send it to D.C.,
I mean,
right?
I remember those Omaha steaks.
I ate a number of the hot dogs included.
Wait for us to move,
Disclose.
Which we hope is May 1st.
Yeah.
Right. We're going to move to whatever we rename this restaurant. So, but just wait.
Shine
but
box.
Thank you for that.
Yes.
From Roger Sherman in D.C., I'm sitting in National Airport waiting on my flight. I'm watching CNN on the television when up pops the face of Chris Saliza.
Oh, yeah.
This day started off well. I had high hopes for this business trip. They've all been ruined by the simple sight and sound of this man. Not exactly a David Aldridge moment. Thanks, Saliza. We love Saliza.
I mean,
we love Saliza.
I'm going to take that as really I'm going to take that as like a B plus for me. Seems like he could be won around.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
he's a fan. Obviously, a fan. Yeah.
As you might say, you sound nice.
Philip W. Braddock in San Francisco. Since it's obvious that the purpose of life is for littles to help bigs, I thought I would fulfill my destiny by offering a hand to Mr. Saliza. Last week, and this is going to make Chris feel great. Last week when you were talking about Zarrow's, and because I love the rye bread, and I lost the email, so I never got back to them to get rye bread.
Ouch.
Chris has mentioned that he's hoping to score about 4 million black and white cookies.
That's right, rough estimate.
Well, it just so happens that my mom is the owner of the Black and White Cookie Company.
Boom.
So I'd be more than happy to send a few orders to everyone on the show. All I need is to know whether Chris prefers his cookies sprinkled with diamonds or platinum. Jokes aside, please ask Michael or Nigel to reply with a shipping address, and I will take care of the rest.
Oh, that is
wow!
Exciting.
How great is that?
Yeah, the shipping address can be my home address. Thank you.
There you go.
From Ronan Carr in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. At this point, if Chad's is not renamed the soon-to-be-renamed, I think everyone will be sorely disappointed. Could even acronymize it to STBR. Millennials love acronyms. Thank you guys for providing quality entertainment every day. Much appreciated. From Jordan Chance in Bethpage. Bethpage is on Long Island. The last number of days you've gotten into a tiff on Strasburg, Syndergaard, and Darvish pitching exclusively from the stretch and how guys like Juan Marichal use big, impressionable windups during your youth. As a millennial little, I couldn't help but take note of your casting millennials as ignorant of grand windups. I was an 8-year-old Little League catcher on Long Island in 1998 when Orlando El Duque Hernandez was mowing down hitters for the Yankees with his high leg kick. At the same time, Hideo Nomo was being traded from the Dodgers to
Tornado.
The Mets. Meaning that our little league pitching arsenal was constantly imitating these two. Surely that year had the most hits batsmen in our league.
Oh,
and as a
catcher,
anytime I saw this windup, I just closed my eyes because it wasn't coming anywhere near my club. It's a wonderful email. From Ted in Richmond, a local shout-out from Jacksonville, Florida. While preparing for the road trip home, I reminded my mom to download the Tony Kornheiser Show before we leave. From the back room, the booming voice of the electrician. He's not very popular around here. Well, it's good to know that that goes away after, 15 years. Dan Schuett in Durant, Iowa. About 18 years ago, my family and I went to Disney and rode the same Star Wars ride as Mr. Tony. Halfway through, small children are crying and my dad's stomach is churning. Then the ride abruptly stopped. The kid running the ride goes on the intercom and says there was a malfunction with the ride. You didn't get the complete ride. Before we restart, does anyone want to get off? To which my dad jumps up and yells, I want off, and pushes crying children out of the way to get out of the ride. My friend and I rode again. Turns out the first ride stopped about 20 seconds before it was supposed to. I loved it both times. My dad, not so much. No, Chan wrote me an email about this, about rides and stuff like that. No, I can't do the rides. Sorry. If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white.
Don't talk back to me, all right?
When the bombs come and missiles fly, when there's fire burning in the sky, in the tunnel.
Sweet words, your speech.